Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention to snowmobiles and snowmobiling. Did you know that the first snowmobile was invented in Wisconsin? It was back in 1924. So maybe we'll talk a little about that, but we'll also talk about what you need to know to safely operate a snowmobile with our next guest, Jason Roberts, a recreation warden for the Bureau of Law Enforcement in our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. So we'll talk safety with him and also take your questions relating to snowmobiles and snowmobiling. You can join in. Easy to do. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. And Jason Roberts, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of the show and glad to be here.
Well, great to have you along. Snowmobiling, I know it's really popular in the northern part of the state. Somebody was asking, well, what about the rest of the state? How popular is it across the rest of the state?
Sure. Well, I mean, people may or may not be aware, but Wisconsin boasts one of the highest mileage as far as trails that are available to the public. We have over 25,000 miles that are marked and available to our public. The question is always, of course, snow conditions to make those miles usable. But, you know, we're consistently ranked as one of the top three trail systems in the nation by a lot of different major publications, and especially like the Eagle River in the northern part of the state. I mean, they are affectionately referred to as the snowmobiling capital of the world. So it's a big part of our recreation in our state and a big driver of the economy, especially in the northern part. But as you mentioned, we've got snowmobiles interconnected from the southern border in Illinois all the way up to through Iron County. So if you had enough gas and the snow conditions were there, you could, in essence, ride from Illinois border all the way up to the Michigan UP.
UP. Oh, my goodness me. Well, I didn't realize you could do it that way, but obviously you need the snow to get there. And the snowmobiles have to be registered with the DNR, do they not?
Yeah, I mean, the reason we have that interconnected trail system and a well-groomed trail system is because we receive monies from those registration fees. So a big part of, you know, snowmobiling is to make sure you do it legally. And when to do it legally, you need to have your machine registered. But you also, if you want to ride our trail system, you also have to have a Wisconsin trail pass, which in essence funds those well-groomed trails that we're so accustomed to here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and they're not that expensive. I can't remember what one of the trail passes cost, but it's not a lot.
No, they're about $30 for the year, so less than filling up a tank of your vehicle as far as gas goes. So it's a great deal, I think, for the kind of experience you get. And I mean, just to remind you too, I mean, we have this great interconnected trail system, but in reality, I mean, the DNR, the state, really doesn't put up a single post. It's all done by volunteers, by our snowmobile clubs. We in essence fund them, but they are out there working, pounding those trails. Putting up the safety markers. They're the ones grooming them. They're the ones securing permission through a lot of private lands. Maybe the public is or is not aware, but a vast majority, especially in the southern part of the state, all of our trails run through people generous enough to donate a portion of their property to let people recreate and ride through. So that's a big part, and it's a big pull by our volunteers and our snowmobile clubs. And that's through every county has their own clubs. But it's managed through the AWSC, which is the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. They're a really, really active group that does a lot of great things for their sport, but also just for the tourism dollars the state receives.
Yeah. And speaking of tourism, what about out-of-state snowmobilers in terms of registering and so forth? Do they need to be registered?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Everybody that rides a snowmobile on our trail system needs that trail pass. But also, if you're going to ride on a trail system, they need to be registered. Now, you can register them in Wisconsin, or you can have an out-of-state registration, as long as it's current you're good to go. But more importantly, when we're out there on the trails and we're checking to make sure people are adhering to the laws, we're checking for those trail passes to make sure they've paid to play, in essence.
Yeah, it's sort of, I have a pass for biking trails and so forth. So it's the same kind of thing. If I've been stopped on some of our trails and the person who stopped asked, for my trail pass and I had it. So same thing applies for snowmobiles for sure. Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, that's really key. And also from an enforcement standpoint for us, law enforcement. So we're out there as wardens, as conservation wardens. That's a big part of our job is enforcing snowmobile laws and making sure people are safe and being ethical out there. But also a lot of our patrol partners, a lot of the sheriff's departments also, especially in the northern counties, have their own snowmobile outfits that are out there looking for these kind of things like the trail passing, the trespassing, all these issues that come along with accidents and relate to funding directly. So if you're going to be out there on the trails, you very well could run into one of us on a snowmobile, or you could run into one of us, at a stop at a road crossing, for example, talking with people, making sure they're following the rules and regulations.
Yeah. Safety. I'm wondering about safety classes. Are they required to operate a snowmobile?
Yeah. So here in Wisconsin, if you're born after 1985, anyone born with that date after January 1st of 1985 is required to have a snowmobile safety class. So if I'm doing the math in my head real quick, that's people around the 35 or 36 year old age. So it's getting to the point we're going to 10, 15 years from now, we're going to get to the point where the vast, vast majority of people that are on the trails are going to have to be required to have that snowmobile safety class. And those classes come in two forms. You have the traditional class where you actually go in person in front of a bunch of volunteer instructors who are typically our snowmobile clubs. They do it as a community service. They offer these classes. But we also, as we move into the modern age, we've offered some internet courses. You can find those through our DNR portal. Just make sure you're going through our Wisconsin DNR portal. There's a couple of approved snowmobile classes that meet that metric that we need in order to operate. And you can see those two through our website. And it's a very interactive display. It's a lot of on-screen learning, but it's a good interface. Once again, it's interactive. It can't substitute in-person class. I think that face-to-face contact is really good in education. So I encourage the use of the actual classes, but if you're in a pinch and you need the internet class, feel free to go that route. The one add-on I will make to that, though, is that people have to be 16 years or older in order to enroll in the internet courses. So for those that are 12 to 15 that want to ride a snowmobile with mom and dad, that's great, but they have to actually go to an in-person class to get that face-to-face time with our instructors. So that's an important caveat.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Now, there's got to be an easy way to find out where the classes are and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you just look at our website, and I think a map pops up, and you click on the counties you're interested in and see when they're offered. I can tell you, a lot of our instructors that are offering these classes are snowmobile riders, of course, themselves, so typically, they like to run their classes early in the season before the snow really starts flying because they want to go out and recreate as well. Or a lot of them are working on the trail system. They're out there grooming the trails, pounding in stakes, developing the routes. So a lot of them pop up in November and December. They're usually a two-day class, and those are all on our website as they pop up.
And by 2 days, what's the length of each class? Is it
usually,
all day?
The format is about 8 to 9 hours of instruction. And what we've seen is that it's best to break that up over a multi-day period just for the kids to go home and sort of soak in. 8 hours of just learning about snowmobiles can be a bit much for 12 or 13-year-olds. So we usually typically do a half-day class on Saturday and a half-day on Sunday component so that they get a little experience, not only with, being able to safely ride, but also basic mechanics. that's something you can't substitute through online training, you know, having a hands-on, looking at a machine, actually sitting on a machine, teaching them how to ride safely, the different positions on there, looking at clothes, looking at safety equipment, looking at helmets. That's all important with a hands-on environment.
Yeah, and fixing as well. You know, that was one of the things that held me back some years back when I was thinking about going snowmobiling. I thought I had a lot of friends who had snowmobiles, and every one of them was a good mechanic. I wasn't. So there's basic stuff that needs to be learned in that area too.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, those days, I mean, I'm 44 myself. So I remember my dad when he snowmobiled. He was always fixing and tinkering around with that machine. But nowadays, boy, these are really well-engineered pieces of machinery that I don't see a whole lot of broken down machines along the trail. On occasion, I'll see, actually on Sunday, I saw some people getting pulled in by a tow strap. But it's an anomaly. You don't see it that often. So machines have come a long way as far as their reliability and the kind of performance they can pull off.
Yeah, I think I was thinking back a long time back, and like I said, every friend I had was good at fixing things, and every one of them had to do some fixing along the way, sometimes fairly often. Well, we've got we got lots to talk about. We got Lori in River Falls, and Lori, I hope you can hang with us here. Maybe come in with your question, and we'll have a time to answer it after the news. Lori, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was wondering about renting a snowmobile and how the trail pass, like, can we get one for, like, a one-day thing? And then where would we go to rent a snowmobile?
Those are all good questions, Lori. And I'm gonna have Jason ponder that. Because we need to take a look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Our guest, Jason Roberts, Recreation Warden for the Bureau of Law Enforcement and our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You'll be with us right till 12:30. We'll answer Lori's question and answer your questions too. 800-642-1234 or email us, and we've got some emails up too, at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about snowmobiling right now. It's a very popular sport in Wisconsin. We have about 25,000 miles of groomed trails for you to enjoy. And safety counts, and that's one of the things we're taking up with Jason Roberts. He is our guest and a recreation warden for the Bureau of Law Enforcement in our Wisconsin DNR. So it's great to have Jason with us. You may have questions about regulations. What do you like about snowmobiling? Maybe a comment on that. I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or just send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'd love to hear from you. And Jason, we had Lori from River Falls wondering, she might even still be with us, she was wondering about, say you're going to rent a snowmobile, how does the trail pass system work? Can you get a one-day permit or something like that?
Sure. Actually, on the break, I took the liberty of looking up some rental rates even for you for the northern part of the state. I don't know where you're looking, but to answer your question, you know, when you rent a machine, it's going to come with a trail pass, and it's going to come with registration, at least if they're on the up and up, and I think most of these are. And one thing I want to plug, too, is the Travel Wisconsin website. They have great snow reports. They've got great links to rental agencies, things like that. And I see a couple places up in Bayfield, the Monaco, Eagle River area, and they all average about $140 to $200 based on how new the machine is to rent the machine. So So if you rent the machine, just make sure you look it over and make sure that there's something attached that identifies it as a registered machine and there's an active trail pass because you are required to have one. In regard to a one-day pass, there is not a one-day or like a multi-day pass like you have for like ATVs. And it's basically just a year-long trail pass that you have to purchase. Or in your case, the rental agency will purchase and have displayed on the machine.
Yeah. Well, just relating to that, Don in Green Bay called in to ask why snowmobiles have to have a trail pass and four-wheelers don't.
Yeah, that was a thing that changed about 6 years ago or so. The legislature passed a change, and it was pushed through with the support of the AWSC, which is that Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. And basically, the expense associated with maintaining those trails, if you follow any of their pages on, like, Facebook, for example, the local county alliances, they are out there at all times of the day. It takes gas to groom those trails. You got to purchase those trail signs. You got to connect. You got to get that landowner permission. All of this stuff, we like to reimburse our volunteers so they're not coming out of pocket. So to answer your question, it was a change, and the monies go directly to the trail system.
And why don't four-wheelers, why aren't they required to have a pass of some sort?
Yeah, that's just it was a change as far as, my understanding is talking to WATFA, which is their the branch of AATV programs that sort of speak for all ATVers in the state. They're not looking at that right now as advocating for that. I guess I don't understand exactly why it's not required, but I can tell you that it's not.
Okay. Well, Steve in Bowler Junction wondered if there are more snowmobiles registered now than maybe in the 70s when they were so popular. I mean, in other words, what kind of where's the popularity of the sport?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers of actual registered machines. I know machines were very popular in the 70s and 80s, and we had a lot of registrations, but in a lot of ways, the ATV industry crept into that a little bit, and you're seeing for the first time in about, I would say in the last 10 years or so, we saw a flip where we saw more registered ATVs and now UTVs than we do snowmobiles. And I mean, part of that is just snow conditions have deteriorated over the years as far as where the trails can exist. I know I'm down in Walworth County, so I am on the border in Illinois, so I'm a far cry from Minocqua and Eagle River. But I can tell you, like, for example, last year our trails were open no more than 10 days, 10 or 11 days due to poor snow conditions. We've been open for the last about 5 days now down here because of the snow we had down here, and I'm sure up towards Madison. But if you look at the snow report, on travelwisconsin.com, you'll see that most of our trails are only open in those northern counties. So you're looking like Ashland, Iron, Vilas counties, parts of Oneida County, and then you see there's a ban down by us due to that storm that we had last night or yesterday that are open all the way through Madison. So there's like a northern belt and a southern belt of open trails. But, it's a little bit of a shift in the climate perhaps where we're just not getting as much snow as we did in the 70s and 80s. But I just don't have those numbers of how many machines we have right off the top of my head.
George wondered why there isn't a requirement for snowmobilers who are on the ice to wear a life vest when you consider the occasions when snowmobilers go through the ice.
Yeah, well, that's just not a requirement. It's not a boat, so therefore it doesn't, need to have a life jacket. I can tell you that I was just looking at the data from last year. We had 19 snowmobile fatalities. And of those 19, I see 5 of the 19 were related to going through open water, either driving into open water or cracking through the ice. So there may not be a requirement, but there is from a safety standpoint, we really recommend the use of a flotation system built into your, many of these snowmobile suits nowadays come built in with flotation and also with a porous draining system in the interior lining of the jacket, which allows you to drain water out if you do in fact go into the water. And that ties back to that safety component when you're going to be on the ice to have those things necessary. So I'm a big advocate of it, but I can tell you it's not a requirement to have it as such.
You mentioned, I think, 19 fatalities, and half a dozen of them or so were going through the ice. What were the other reasons? What's the cause of most snowmobile deaths?
Well, I mean, almost the vast majority of them, and if you look at the data over the last 5-10 years, you'll see about 70% are alcohol related in some way or another. So staying sober while operating is the direction we want people to go in, to be sober. No one says when you go on vacation up in northern Wisconsin, you can't drink anything. The thing is save your drinking for once you get back to the hotel, get back to the resort, get back to your cabin. Just don't do it out on the trail. It's just not safe. There's too many variables. You're riding at night. You've got to really be aware. I mean, snowmobile riding is what we call rider active. You really got to be on your game. You got to lean, you got to bend, you got to have good response times. You got to be able to think quickly. And once you compromise that with a little bit of alcohol, that's when you get into trouble. So if you go to our DNR website and just type in, you know, WIDNR or snowmobile accidents, you'll get a little synopsis of all of our accidents over the last 5 or 6 years. And you can see how people, and they actually have the alcohol levels, and you'll find people in there that are a 0.24, a 0.21, 0.17. You're talking 3 to 4 times over the legal drinking limit out there operating on a machine. And that's a problem with all our wrecked vehicles. We have to encourage sober use of these machines. Often people are out, quote unquote, recreating, and they would never for the life of them think about getting in a motor vehicle when they're not intoxicated. But for some reason, when they're recreating, they don't consider that they can hurt themselves or somebody else or the family they leave behind when these tragic incidents occur.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's take some calls. Gary in Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I've just got two things here quick. The last couple of weeks, we were up in St. Germain, and we did rent a couple of sleds from a guy by the name of Paul's Rental. Really good place up there. And, you know, they have everything from boots, you know, mittens, coats, the whole shebang. So, you know, you don't have to buy all that stuff to go snowmobiling. The other thing I was going to say was that if you're, you know, born after 1985, you need to get the certificate, which my son has just been taken online. And it takes about 2 hours, and then you get your certificate if you're younger, and then you're able to go. But I did have one question about what it means that the snowmobile trails are groomed. What do they actually do to a snowmobile trail, you know, to groom it or to make it nicer, whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, as someone who's never groomed a trail, actually, it's hard to me to speak to all the nuance, but having seen groomers out on the trail, in essence, what they're doing is they're smoothing out some of the rough spots, spreading the snow out. A lot of these, at least in the southern part of the state, a lot of these trails go across agricultural fields where you have tilled up ag fields, which create a kind of a bumpy surface, which these groomers come through, break it up, smooth it out, just like you smooth a trail on if you've ever gone skiing or cross-country skiing. And you see the smoothed out trail system. That's the same concept with snowmobiles. It's creating that soft, and it's also an opportunity when they're out grooming them to look at the trail, assess the situation, determine if it needs to close or maybe if some repairs need to be made or more signage needs to go up. So to groom the trail just means to smooth it out in essence.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Gary. Good question. Sue in Eau Claire, let's go to you now. Hi, Sue.
Hello. Yes, you have alluded now a couple of times to the fact that the trail system goes over a lot of private land, and we have a snowmobile trail that goes through our property, and it doesn't bother us for the most part. However, I would say that I would like for people to know that they are crossing private land, and that it's nice if they obey the signs and stay on the trail and do things the way they're supposed to do them.
Very good points. Yeah. I bet for Jason, you'd second that.
Yeah, that's one of our major issues. I mean, when you think about it, these people are nice enough to let a bunch of random strangers drive through their property on these high-powered machines. The very least you can do with that act of generosity on their part is to stay in between the trailblazers, stay on the trail that's identified and marked. I see it too often, and I will not hesitate to write tickets to people that I see cutting corners, driving out into the – sometimes people just see that open field, you know, that fresh virgin snow, and they want to drive out there in that powder. Think about the repercussions, because you know what happens? Those people get ticked off that were generous enough to give their property. They lose that trail system. Then the clubs have to try to reroute it. And if they can't find private land to cut through, they got to go along a roadway, and no one wants to ride along a roadway. So I do not hesitate writing tickets. If you're on the trail and you see this stuff, call it in, report it. You know, call the DNR. You know, we have a number that 1-800-WDNR or tip WDNR info. I'll have to get that number for you. Hold on. I will not hesitate to write a ticket if you see a sled, and just anything you can document as far as the color of the machine. I know it may be hard to see a registration number, but what they're dressed in, what their sleds look like. Inevitably, if I'm out patrolling and you call that in, we can probably cut them off at the next roadway.
Very good points. Thank you very much, Sue, and thanks for you folks actually allowing people to use your property. Steve emailed to ask what snowmobile manufacturers are doing to reduce the carbon footprint. Are there hybrids out there or electric snowmobiles?
You know, I don't have that right off the top of my head. I know there's some that are coming on a landscape that are electric powered. And I think a lot of homeowners and people that do provide those trail systems behind their house would appreciate an electric snowmobile. I don't know what the expense is associated with them, but I know, I believe it's Polaris that's rolling out both an ATV and a snowmobile. I just think with the amounts of, I just don't know if it's in the prototype stage or if it's actually a model that's going to be rolling out soon. So I don't have that, but I'm sure a quick search of their website would find that out for you.
Yeah, I bet I got to believe that that's if not now, in the future, there's going to be a lot of those out there for sure. Well, the main important safety regulation, I think the main safety thing is don't drink when you're out there on the snowmobile. But what are the most important safety regulations besides that?
Well, I would say alcohol is a big part of it. When I pointed out 12 of the 19 accidents had alcohol of significant volume in their system, that's a big thing. But really, it comes down to three things when we see accidents and how people die. It's either alcohol, which we already talked about, it's speed, or it's inexperience. I can look at every one of those synopses that we share on our website as far as how people die in these accidents, and you can point to one of those three things. If people just simply slow down, so many of them are just colliding with fixed items like trees, running into barbed wire fences, gates. Often there are people going off the trail, going out into the fields at night, and it's very easy, especially at night, to overdrive your headlights, to drive faster than you are able to actually react. You can't think of a snowmobile as a car as far as your ability to stop, because one, you're in snow, and two, your headlights only shine out so far. So once you hit over 40 miles an hour and you're at night, you are at the actual point of maximum stoppage. Like, you cannot stop that machine in the appropriate amount of time. If you see, recognize a tree that just fell over into the trail, be able to apply recognize it as a threat, press the brakes, and then stop the machine in time. So for that reason, the state actually implemented a speed limit at night. So we do have a 55 mile per hour speed limit at night, which there's no reason to be going 55 miles an hour, but that's what the state limit is. I encourage under 40 miles an hour. And ride with people of similar skill sets. Often we see accidents when people that are inexperienced trying to keep up with somebody that's experienced. So if you're nice enough to bring somebody out that's never snowmobiled, make sure you ride to their skill level. Okay. Don't make them operate in an uncomfortable zone trying to catch up with you on the trail system. That's when accidents happen. So ride together, be respectful of each other's skill sets, and you should go home safely.
Not only skill sets, probably, but mindsets too. When it comes to drinking,
right? There's a lot of machismo that's with those snowmobiles, and you got to keep that ego in check a little bit.
Rick in Marshfield, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Thanks for a great program. I've been sledding for 4 years, and I just love it. If you've never tried it, try it. It's great to get out in the woods and see all this wildlife in the winter. It's pretty. But I was just bringing up about the trail passes. If you belong to the snowmobile club, it only costs you $10 per trail pass. And so if you're registering multiple snowmobiles, you'll save some dollars by joining the club.
Good point, Jason.
Yeah, that's something I forgot to mention. You know, I encourage, we talked about our volunteers doing all the legwork for us out on the trail system. That those clubs, and as an incentive to join one of those clubs and help out, we have a reduced rate for the trail passes. So instead of paying $30 per snowmobile that you want to ride on the trails, you have the option of joining a snowmobile club where you can contribute to a sport you presumably enjoy and get a little camaraderie and work as part of a group. But also there's a financial incentive in that you can get trail passes for $10. So what for if you got a husband, wife, and a couple kids that have snowmobiles, instead of paying $120, you'd be paying $40 to register those machines or to buy trail passes for those machines. So there's a financial incentive, but also it's the greater good. You're looking after a sport you care about.
Someone else wondered, when can snowmobiles use a road, like it just to go across it or whatever?
Yeah, snowmobile operation along a road is an accepted mode of transportation. So it doesn't even have to be a trail system. People can operate along a road. It's just, it comes down to the type of road that it is. If it is a town road, so if it's typically like a named road, like Peterson Road, you have to operate just outside of the roadway, the improved portion. If it's a county road, typically like your lettered or numbered roads, like Highway 20 or Highway V, if it's a county road, you have to be 10 feet off that improved portion. So in that case, sometimes you get into issues where you may be trespassing if you're getting that 10 feet. So you have to be real mindful of that. But typically operating in the road right away, so just off the paved surface, is legal here in Wisconsin.
But not running on the road, I mean, normally. You can go across the road.
You can, yes, you can cross a road. You can go around an obstacle, for example, a ditch or a river. You can go up onto the road, yielding to traffic in the most direct route possible, get back down into the road right away. On occasion, you do see snowmobile routes. If it's a snowmobile route, it allows you to actually operate on the roadway. And you see that a lot in northern Wisconsin when those entire communities, Eagle River, for example, where you often see more snowmobiles than you see vehicles at the gas stations, at the restaurants, at the convenience stores. In those cases, they can actually operate on the road. But if you're down south here, primarily, you got to be outside the roadway.
Yeah, or maybe just to go across it. Well, again, where can we find information on the trails and all the safety and all that? Right on your website, correct?
Yeah, check out Wisconsin DNR, and I think there's links to the AWSC if you're interested in where your local clubs or alliances meet or where they have their club meeting. That is all portaled through the DNR page and through the AWSC. And also check out Travel Wisconsin. Travel Wisconsin has a really robust, well-updated, I just checked it this morning, as to see what counties are open and which counties are closed and what the snow conditions are for riding, if they're fair, or good, or better, or whichever.
Okay. Jason, a pleasure talking with you. I hope we can do this again. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Take care now.
Bye-bye. Jason Roberts, Recreation Warden for the Bureau of Law Enforcement in our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Good to talk with him. We'll talk about two programs helping children tomorrow on the show, and then look forward to having you with us. But in the meantime, hey, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.